Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 346, Cooperate with God. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, November 26th, 2023, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, we are in our Family Coming In series, and we started last week, and we were talking about the covenant-keeping God. Do you remember that? How God has covenant with us, right? Because of the covenant, the promise, the pact, the agreement, the alliance, whatever word you want to place in there, synonym, that he has with us, that includes our family members. They are covered. He watches over them. God desires to bring his healing, his salvation power, his deliverance, freedom, all his blessings, all his good things to our family members. And he's doing it. Even if we can't see it, he's at work because of the covenant that he has with each one of us. He is doing a work. And I'm sure you, just as much as me, we want to align with what God's doing in our families' members' lives, right? Of course, we would say, yes, I want God's blessings. I want his salvation power to reach my loved one, to reach my family members that don't yet know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so we want to partner and be an effective co-laborer in the work that the Lord is doing in our family members' lives. And so today we're going to talk about the title of the message today is cooperate with God, because we could also, let's be honest, we can be a hindrance to the work that God wants to do in our family members' lives, right? I make that face because, you know, I know that I've done, you know, probably been a hindrance sometimes. It's like sometimes we want it so badly and we just like say too much, do too much, push our agenda on that person, hit them upside with the Bible, you know, like, just get it, you know, and it's like, how is that attracting them to the heart of Jesus? It pushes them away, right? And so the Lord forgives us for that, and he wants to give us some just practical strategies today of how to cooperate with him, how to align with God's best, what he wants to do, because it's his work, not ours. Amen. That's one of the things that, oh gosh, that was so fundamental that I learned, especially when I was away, when God sent me, I think God had to send me away from my family. You know, I was how many thousands of miles away in South America, in Argentina, and I stayed there for 7 years because it was like God had to show me that I'm not the savior of my family. None of us is Jesus. None of us plays that role of God. Jesus is Lord over our families. We can't save them. We might have that desire. We love them so much, and we want them to experience the life and the freedom and all the goodness that we've experienced from the Lord. But we've got to move out of the way. We've got to cooperate with God. We've got to align with his word and be in faith and all the things that we're going to talk about here, some practical things, so that God can do it. He's the Savior. He knows how to save our family members. Amen. All right, so we're just going to dive right in. It starts with us. It starts with us of how we're thinking, really. So the point number one is think God's thoughts about your family. What are you thinking about in regards to your family? And when you see a situation with a family member that you've been praying and believing for, what do you think about? Are you thinking about how it looks and how it looks terrible? Gulp. We need to stand in faith, right? How do we do that? We need to believe what God's word says over our family, over the specific situation, over that family member. We need to declare his word, that his word is true no matter what it looks like, right? And so let's look at the scripture, Romans 8:6. Because when I read this, It was like the Lord said to me, sometimes, Sarah, you're just carnal minded. It's like Santos said when the Lord told him that he was robbing from God. It was like one of those, you know, like, I'm carnal minded. Oh, gosh. But when you think about it, carnal is the flesh, right? Thinking. And anytime you, if you're looking at a situation and then you have thoughts that are all generated about how it looks, that's carnal minded. Rather than believing and declaring and thinking the word of God, despite what it looks like. So this scripture, Romans 8:6 says, for the sense, this is in the Passion Translation, by the way, for the sense and reason of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. In fact, the mindset focused on the thing or on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction. Wow. Because it cannot. Verse 8, for no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And if you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you are not of Him. We have a phrase in Spanish that when we read scripture, we would say, que fuerte, like that's really strong. That's a strong scripture right there. So we get to choose how we're thinking. Do we want to have the consequence of what we're thinking death, or do we want our mindset controlled by the Spirit, because that result is life and peace, like we just read. We get to choose. We have, sometimes it feels like, well, I can't, like, it just happened, it just took over. No, we have a choice. We do have a choice what we think about, right? I put up around my house, choose joy. Like, that's what we can choose. We can choose the Spirit, right? Because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It comes from the Spirit of the living God who's inside of me. So that means I have love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, all those, et cetera, et cetera. I have them. I have to activate those in my life. And then that is me walking by the Spirit, no matter what it looks like, no matter what situation is threatening, my family member's life or the situation, how it looks. So how do I get that? How do I get the Holy Spirit to rule in my thoughts? Because it seems to me that sometimes, you know, I don't know about you guys, but when a situation happens with family, it's like my default is, oh God, oh no, like it looks bad. And so we need to make a new default. How do we get a new default thinking that's, oh, God's word is true, you know, and whatever word you have from him, that becomes your default. Life empowered by the Spirit, right? It'll bring life and peace to you. So how do we get there? Well, we know that in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? By the word of God. So we need to ask the Holy Spirit, if you don't yet have specific words, rhema word from God, God's Holy Spirit breathed word on your family, your situation, or each family member, ask him, Lord, what do you say over my spouse? What's your truth for my sibling? What's your truth for my child or my grandchild? What do you say? Because that's what I want to think about. That's what I want to pray. That's what I want to declare, even when it looks the most grim, right? And so we need to get that word, not just read it, not just pray it, but we need to get that into our heart. Like you guys hear me say this all the time. Let the word of God create a new picture on the inside of you of what you're believing for. In this case, maybe salvation for a family member, right? Let the word of God germinate and produce fruit in you. Plant the seed of the word, right? It's the incorruptible seed of the word. That means it can't spoil. It can't perish. The word will produce fruit and it will never return empty or void. So when you plant that seed really into your heart, then it is going to be an everlasting word, and that's going to hold you steady and hold you firm when the wind comes and the wave comes and things are looking rocky with your family or your family situation. And you can apply these same principles of faith to receiving healing in your body, for receiving deliverance, anything, you know, any promise, right? It's the same, but we're just applying it today. We're talking about family today. So you have to start by faith with the word of God, right? And declare that your family member is saved, healed, whole, delivered, right? And the new picture of them will come. Let that rise up on the inside of you. You have to see it with your spiritual eyes first before it can manifest in the physical, natural realm. What I see, touch, hear, feel, you know? So, because what God says about the situation and about your family member is much more real and true than what you see, touch, smell, taste, hear, than your five senses. Because the devil is a liar. Yes. The devil is a liar. So we choose to believe and speak and stand on what the word says. It's his truth rather than what we hear, see, smell, taste, touch, any of what we can perceive with our five senses. So we don't look at the circumstance then. We use the word. We fight with the word. It's the sword of the spirit, right? And we keep that faith picture of our loved one and the word about them in front of us, in front of our the eyes of our heart, so to speak. We're not moved. We stand on that word. I'm preaching again to myself today. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6. I love this. We can demolish, like knock it down like a wrecking ball. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through. Can you see like a brick wall breaking through that? What are we breaking through? Every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. Like, it's not working. God's not over your family. He's not taking care of them. They're not going to get saved. Shut up, devil. We break through that arrogant attitude that says, God's not there. He's not on the scene. Blah, blah, blah. Yo, it's true because the word of God is powerful. So we capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the anointed one. And some of you have heard me do the woo, 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 like when a thought comes that's raising itself against the knowledge and truth of the word and God, you know, against God, the knowledge of God in your situation for your family member. Woo, woo, it says here, capture like prisoners of war. Go arrest that thing. Arrest that thought. Get it down. And if you need to do something like speak it out loud, do the siren noise that helps you, then do it. I've done it. Woo, woo, like arrest it, chain it up, let it, you know, let it fall. Do whatever you got to do. I've even, you know, been in my house alone and I'm thinking stuff. And then all of a sudden it's like, stop, you know, stop. Think about what you're thinking about, you know. And then I say it out loud. It's like, I need to wake up. And the Holy Spirit's like, tap, tap, wake up. And then I just say, then I speak out loud and I'm just, no, stop. Discouragement or call it out, whatever it is, and I expose it, and that's me arresting it, like tying it up. No, and then I replace it with my truth. What's the word? What's the scripture that's in my heart? That is powerful, guys, because when we start to, you know, go downward, it all starts with one little thought that we don't arrest, and we get lazy up here in our minds, and when we get down and out, it's because it started with one thought and then another thought, and then we're meditating on that. We're supposed to meditate on the truth of God, the Word of God, and we've got to stop being lazy, hallelujah, in our thought life so that we can have victory. That's where it all begins. And the devil tries to take us out there. And let's face it, a lot of times he's successful, right? But we can do better because we got the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us. Ask him to help. Let's pray over our minds. Let's reset. Let's do it. We can do it. Because the devil will try to pull us into the area of like reason and thought and logic and how it looks because of our five senses. By looking, getting us to just keep our focus on the circumstances. And when we do that, we lose. We lose every time, right? Because we end up agreeing with the devil. Oh, yeah, it does look real bad, you know? And then it's a pity party. I know, because I've been there. Help me, Lord. So, you know, and we try to solve our problems with our minds, right? That only causes more confusion, worry, fear, doubt, unbelief, anxiety, you know? Kenneth Hagin in this Bible prayer study course, if you haven't read this, this is awesome. This is such a powerful book, powerful resource that we went through in our cell groups a few years ago, I believe. But he says, you should believe God's word with your spirit from inside of you. And then you shut your mind off to doubt and unbelief and thoughts that are contrary to the word of God and believe with your heart. Like the Bible says, act from the inside of you, from your heart. Amen. And that will influence your prayer life, obviously. That'll influence a lot of things, right? So we're thinking God's kinds of thoughts about our family members. And it's all about faith, right? Putting in the word of God and standing on that and not being moved and taking thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Okay, number two, pray God's kinds of prayers. So when you have built up on the inside of you the word, the picture of what you're believing for, your family member saved in this case or set free, sitting next to you in church, then the prayer of faith comes out of your heart. It'll just flow. Once you have that on the inside of you, you'll know because it's just, that's your reality. That's your truth. And then everything else kind of lines up to that. Your prayer and how you speak, how you talk about things. So it's important that you spend time building that word in your heart to get that picture, right? And then pray out the prayer of faith. Mark 11 is an awesome model for us. This is how we do this. Mark 11, 23 to 26 says, "For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," so you're saying something, "be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." Verse 26, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Did you hear that? Wow. Okay, this is serious stuff. Ouch, right. Side note here, and then we'll go back to the prayer of faith. Lack of forgiveness, it'll trip you up. It's going to hinder your walk. It's going to hinder your progress. It's going to hinder the blessings of God getting to your life. So let's just deal with it. Let's get it out of our lives, of our minds, of our hearts, that lack of forgiveness. Forgive because he first forgave us, and it's what he says to do, right? And he knows that we need to get rid of that in order for us to receive his blessing. He knows what's best for us, right? Then our prayer will have power if we have truly forgiven, if there's no bitterness or envy or strife or struggle within us, with, you know, especially with another person. So he's saying here, pray the prayer and believe it. Like, let's really believe it. When you stand praying, believe it before you see the results. Well, I can't see the results. Well, that's because you're looking at with the carnal mind, with your fleshly eyes. That's why we go back to, you got to get the image on the inside. You got to see it in the spirit realm. And the Word of God will help you, and the Holy Spirit will help you do that. So you pray the prayer and you believe it before you see the results, and then it will be yours. That's what the Word says. It becomes yours when you pray and believe before you even see it. If it hasn't happened yet in the natural, Jesus says he's taking care of it in the spiritual. When you align yourself to this type of believing prayer, and you also take your authority and you say to the mountain, you know, the mountain of, you know, name it, bondage in my family, lack of belief in my family member's life, move in Jesus' name, right? And you take your authority and you speak that out. The prayer of faith is powerful. Amen. Okay, some other things about praying God's kinds of prayers. This is important. Cast your cares on the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7. The Amplified says it this way. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. So think about those, your thoughts that specific to you. As I say that, imagine there's a big sack, like a big Santa sack, you know, in front of you, and you cast all of those cares, all of your anxious thoughts, all of your worries, all of your concerns, all of your fears, all your doubts, you put them in there, in that sack, once and for all, you cast it on him, you tie it up, and you throw it to him. He cares for you affectionately, and cares about you watchfully. This is so important, because worry hinders our prayers. So we're getting some prayer keys here. Lack of forgiveness hinders our prayers. So does worry. I once heard, I think it was maybe Joyce Meyer that says, worry is like sitting in a rocking chair. You rock and you rock and you rock all day long. You worry and you fret and you sweat and you get nowhere. Worry gets you nowhere. You sit in a rocking chair and you rock all day long, and where do you get? Nowhere. It's stationary, right? And so let's cast our cares. And once we cast them, sometimes we're good at casting in them, and then we pick them back up again, right? Oh, I'll just take that one back because I can do it better. No, we really can't, right? So if you aren't getting an answer to your prayer, maybe it's because you're not fully casting and leaving there all of your worry, all of your care and your anxieties. Ask him. So if we've truly given our cares to God concerning our family members and the people that we're praying for, then that means if we cast them, if we give them to him, that means we don't have it anymore, right? If I hand somebody my Bible, then I don't have it anymore. It's not mine, right? And so if we truly give it to God, it's his. It's his to deal with. We don't pick it back up. It's not mine, and it doesn't belong to me. So don't take them back. Amen? Another way we can pray concerning our family members is pray for laborers along their paths. What are laborers? Laborers are other fellow awesome, cool people like us who love Jesus, who respond to Jesus' voice, and are maybe pumping gas next to your child at the gas station, and they hear, go talk to that person, go pray for that person, and that person is your son that you've been on your knees praying for. Hallelujah. That's a laborer, right? Or the person at whatever store that your child works at, stocking the shelf, and, they hear, ask about, whatever, start sharing about Jesus to this person. God puts it on this laborer at the Target store to share with your child the gospel or pray for them. Those are the ones that you're praying for. We need to be praying for them. Hallelujah. And I've shared, and you can ask some of the sisters in here, at least I've heard some testimonies about them, God allowing them to see and run into and the laborers that were assigned to their children or some other family member. And it's like the labors are revealed. Hallelujah. Praise God. They are out there. So bless them, pray for them, pray for the labors along their path. And there is scripture for this. It's in Matthew 9, 38, right? Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, the harvest is great. In other words, there's so many people to be saved. There's so many people that need Jesus, that need his salvation, the power of the gospel, right? But the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. So Lord, send workers into the field specifically of my husband, of my aunt, of my brother, of my child, of my grandchild. Thank you for the labors. Thank you that they will hear when you speak to them. They hear and they will obey the voice of the Lord, and they will pray for my child, my spouse, my aunt, my cousin, whoever it is you're praying for, and they will obey. And the word of the Lord gets to them, and they're like, wow, it's not just my mom or my spouse or my whoever that's talking to me. Somebody else is talking to me too. Like, they're surrounding me. And maybe that's some of your stories of how you got to the Lord. Like, you know, somebody was praying for you and your family member, you know, in your family. And then, you know, somebody else, random people that you think are random, but they're not random because they're the laborers that your grandmother prayed for you, you know. And so God's doing it. Let's believe in faith. There's an army. Sometimes I see for my family members, I see like an army. I see them lined up. They're on the front lines and they're assigned for my mother, for my father, for my each person that I'm praying for. So hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, because they're out there. Another really powerful thing is to pray Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. I'm turning there in my NIV version. And so if you're not doing this already, this is really powerful. Ephesians 1, if you start about verse 17 or 16, you can do this. So you read through the prayer and you put your family member's name. So somebody give me a name. Okay, I heard Tommy. Okay, so so you're praying this in Ephesians 1, 17. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give Tommy the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that Tommy may know you better, Lord. I pray that the eyes of Tommy's heart may be enlightened in order that he may know the hope to which you have called him, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for those who believe. That's Tommy. He's going to believe. You know, he believes, right? And you keep going. Praise the Lord with that family member's name. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 3. Give me another name. Don? Donna. Okay, good. I was going to say a female name this time. All right, so Ephesians 3, it's about verse 14, and it's, you should star these sections in your Bible so you can find them again, and write them down, dog ear the page or whatever. So for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, He may strengthen Donna with power through his spirit in her inner being so that Christ may dwell in Donna's heart through faith. And I pray that Donna, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that Donna knows this love that surpasses knowledge, and that Donna may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And you can even keep going because verse 20 is the cherry on the cake, right? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. woo, you do that and you do it with the Holy Spirit, you'll feel better about the situation and how it looks. And you do that every day and consistently for the one family member, and then you do it again for the next family member. That's powerful. Praise the Lord. It's the word. Praying the word will never leave you astray. It will never return empty or void. Try it today. What do you have to lose? Praise the Lord. Okay, I need to sit. It's a challenge. It's your homework, as I sometimes say, the teacher in me says. Okay, so you're getting some practical things here? Yes. Praise the Lord. Okay, another really powerful one. I'll model it. Lord Jesus, touch my cousin fulanito. That's like saying Johnny. We say that in Spanish. Fulanito is just like a whatever name. So you pray in the Spirit. Tap into the power of the Holy Spirit for your loved one. Tap into the supernatural heart of God, because they love, or God loves your family member much more, if you can even comprehend that, than you do. And he wants them saved and well and healed and whole and serving Jesus next to you more than you even do. So pray in the Spirit. Romans 8, we won't read it today, but Romans 8 talks about that with groans in the Spirit, right? With groans and utterances in the Spirit. Pray through. We need the breakthrough in the Spirit before we can see it in the natural. So spend time with the Holy Spirit praying, because maybe something, it'll come out of it too, of what you're supposed to do, to say something, to send a scripture, to do something, you know. And if not, that's okay. You rest, you cast your cares, right? But praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is powerful. So to wrap up this part about praying God's kind of prayers, whatever you do, be in faith. Pray in faith. Because we know that faith works by, well, faith comes by hearing, yes, and faith works by love, which is our segue to the next section. So we want to love God's way. This is huge. If we're not a channel of love and blessing for our family members, then it's going to be like a broken chain, right? And sometimes I know it's difficult, because it's like there's a spiritual reaction, like a spiritual chemical reaction that happens, because it's like the darkness in your family member, you know, it's like it reacts. Not because of them, and we'll get to the spiritual warfare part in a minute, but because of the darkness that's controlling and oppressing, the light that you carry of Jesus, it sometimes repels them away from you instead of bringing them. But love covers a multitude of sin, right? And love is more powerful. So if you operate, you place your feet in the sand and decide, I'm not moving away from love. I'm walking in love today. No matter what happens, they're slinging mud at you. I'm walking in love today. You can put boundaries. You can protect your heart and yes, but you can still walk in love. You can turn away from bitterness or unforgiveness. You can still walk in love, even when you, if you have to place boundaries, okay? So we want to serve our family members in love. God is love. Jesus lives inside of us, right? And so we have love. That's a fruit of the Spirit again. We have to exercise it. We have to activate that. God's love is deep. It's unconditional, right? And it's not based on changing emotions. And so that's the way we need to love and partner with God's love, with God, because he is love. We need to partner with that love, agape love, for our family members, right? And when you read, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, that it says, you know, love is patient, love is kind, love is not boastful, love is not envious. Here's other homework. Start this if you're taking notes. Homework, to read 1 Corinthians 13 and imagine yourself operating in all of that description of love with your family member that just pushes your buttons, and where you struggle to walk in love toward that family member, read that over yourself. You know, love is patient. So you see yourself being patient with your family member that just is pushing your buttons. Love is kind. Love is not boastful. It's not envious. You know, all those things. It covers a multitude of sins, because as it says in the first part of that section, if we're just like, if we don't have love, then we're nothing. And we're just making a lot of noise. We're just a clashing gong or a cymbal, right? And so we're here to partner with God. We're here to be a carrier of his presence and to be, you know, to cooperate with God with what he wants to get to our family members, which is love, first and foremost, right? It's his love. And so we have to align ourselves to that love. Love our family member as God does, as Jesus does. And when you pray in the Spirit, if you're struggling to really love them, he's going to help you. He's going to align your heart back to loving them, even because it's not a natural thing, right? It's not just it's not a feeling. He's going to align your heart to love, to serve them, even when you don't feel like it, right? Because we want them to be attracted to the heart of God. We want them to be attracted to Jesus, not repelled by us, right? And so sometimes the way we can love them is just by being quiet. Because sometimes it's like we're just preaching and preaching and preaching at them, and they are just like done. And they're not receiving it. Right? And so pray for laborers, because God, they're not receiving from me. So you know who they will listen to, somebody they listen to and respect. You know, bring those laborers, right? And the best way that we can love them at times is to just be silent and just serve them. Serve them and show love by your actions. We need to increase our love walk. We need to imitate the love of Jesus in our lives. Love them like Jesus does. Another really awesome tool that we learned from the Time to Revive ministry that helps if you have people around you, people in your life, if you interact with people on any level, these four words: love, listen, discern, and respond. It, you know, we use that to teach people when we're going out on the streets to have encounters and how to, you know, share the gospel. But that works. You're going to a family dinner, family meal. You're going to have a conversation with your mother on the phone, whatever. Love, listen, discern, and respond. It's really helpful because it puts the focus back you with partnering with the Holy Spirit and not just a loose cannon with your carnal mind and flesh, right? You're loving them the way Jesus does. You're listening to really what they're saying, and you're listening and discerning to the Holy Spirit of what he would have you say or do in that conversation or situation, and then responding. It's really helpful. Try it. Lots of homework. Lots of things to practice. Okay. When it gets hard, do all things as unto the Lord. Colossians 3, verse 23. It says, we just studied this not too long ago, right? Colossians in the cell groups. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. So here's a quick testimony. A lot of you have heard this, but it's a good example, illustration of this verse. So one time, back in the beginning of our marriage, we've been married about 5 years, Santos and I, it was probably the first year or so, we had a big discussion, a big argument about something, and we both needed to have, like, step away and just, like, have a pause, right? And Santos has now learned that it's not wise to get into fights before dinner, because as he just said, he really likes to eat. He likes tacos, and it's dinner time and we're both getting hungry, and I knew he was getting hungry, but I'm stewing on the couch. He walked away and it was like, and I'm like, I'm not making dinner. And the Lord said to me, the Holy Spirit, even in my, came and said, "Will you make dinner for me? Make dinner for me." And I was like, "Okay, I think you're tricking me, Lord, but I can do that." And believe it or not, by the grace of God, I really got my heart in that. And I got up. I was like, "Okay, I'm going to the kitchen." I didn't even slam I didn't slam around. It was like, I really got my heart in, "God, I'm making dinner for you. And I want to, you know, you're my Lord. And if you come in here, I want to serve you and I want to make the best for you." So I did. And I was sweet. It would like turn me right around. Holy Spirit is so good. And so I call him for dinner and he's like, "I didn't think you were going to make dinner." But so he sits down and I'm really quiet. And I didn't plan to say anything. I just, you know, I probably had planned to just be quiet the whole meal. But he takes a few bites and he's like, "Wow, this is really good." He goes, "Thanks for making dinner. I didn't think you were going to make dinner for me." And I just blurted out, you guys, I didn't even think about it. I just said, "I didn't make dinner for you." And his mouth dropped open and he goes, "What?" I said, "I made dinner for Jesus." And he was like, "Okay, well, thanks." Thanks. So the moral of the story is, don't pick fights with your wife before dinner time. And if you do, call on the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit is so good in our lives. I love that story because it was His grace. It was His grace. So if you are having a hard time serving your family member in love, do it as unto the Lord. Imagine it was Jesus's clothes that you were washing or, you know, whatever task you're doing. It's like, imagine you're serving Jesus really by serving your family. And so allow the love of God to flow through you. Partner with His love. Get your flesh, your carnal mind, and your own emotions out of the way and allow His love to flow. And because it touched him. It did touch him. He was surprised, right? And he learned. And I learned from it too. He did, he says. Praise the Lord. How are we doing on time? Okay. We are of influence. I mentioned this last week. We are of influence. They see us. Don't engage like the world engages, you know, at a family party or something. And don't engage when family members are trying to push your buttons. It's really the enemy, right? We know that. It's really the defeated one. We don't fight flesh and blood. So let's go to that. This is the fourth point. Fight God's way. This is about spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6 is a really great reference for this section. "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Did you hear that? Did you get that? You are not fighting your spouse. You are not fighting against your child. You're not fighting against your family member. It's the devil operating. He's the prince of the power of the air, and he's the father of lies, and he's going to try to do all kinds of things to trip you up, to push your buttons so that you get into strife and unforgiveness and a whole bunch of other stuff, right? And so we know how to fight. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through the pulling down of strongholds, right? So we have the blood of Jesus. We have the name of Jesus. We have the word of God. We can break the power of the devil, of the defeated one, over our loved ones. And we do that through prayer. We do that through the word of God. And we do that with the authority that he has given us, right? Luke 10, we know this, verse 19. "Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you," or "nothing will harm you," right? And so if some snakes and scorpions are coming out at you, you know, to try to trap you, to trip you up, right? You have authority. They are under your feet in the name of Jesus. And you don't need to play that way. You don't need to engage. You don't need to fight back with slinging mud back at your loved one when they're slinging mud at you, nasty words or, you know, whatever. Use your authority and refuge yourself in the Word of God, in the Spirit of God, so that you don't engage the way the world engages. Does that make sense? Yes? Can we do it? Yes, we can do it. Change the way we react. Don't react, actually. Don't react. Don't be... I always see it like a trap set, and I'm walking, and then they start pushing buttons and slinging mud or whatever, and then I fall in the trap, and I start, my flesh engages, and I, well, you didn't, you know, you rebuttal. Don't engage with that. Instead, devil, I see you, and I bind you up in the name of Jesus. You know, under your breath, and you don't engage. If you need to walk away, you walk away. Because maybe that's the way that you can love them in that moment, to walk away and not engage with your flesh and throw mud back at them. And that's loving them, you know. And if you need to take a little time out, go for it. It's good. Some deep breaths, right? We have self-control. That's another fruit of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. All right. I want to read this testimony. You guys doing okay? All right. I want to read this testimony from Kenneth Hagin from this Bible prayer study course because it's really powerful. Page 20. I marked it. Where is it? So he's talking about his, I believe it's his brother. He says, God moves when you come to him according to his word and use the word in the name of Jesus as the key. Then prayer will work for you and you'll have your answer. All those years I had been praying for Dub, that's his brother, he had gotten worse instead of better. But that day something challenged me that the authority in the name of Jesus would work for him. I knew it would. I didn't know where Dub was, but I rose up with my Bible in my hand and I lifted my Bible and said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you foul demon that binds my brother's soul, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I claim Dub's deliverance and salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew in my spirit it was as good as done, and I was full of joy. I laid my Bible down and went out of the room whistling and singing, and I went out on about my business. After that meeting in East Texas, I went home for a few days before starting another meeting. I was there about 10 days, and it had been a couple of weeks or more since I'd claimed Dub's salvation. As I started across my living room into the bedroom, I had a peculiar experience. I'd never had one quite like it. As I walked across the floor, I seemed to hear a voice telling me, oh, come on now. You don't really think old Dub will ever be saved, do you? I stopped dead, still in my tracks, and shut my mind off to those thoughts. Don't ever touch those kinds of thoughts in your thought life because it's doubt and unbelief. If you're tempted to think thoughts of doubt, repent of it. I just shut my mind off and I wouldn't even think about it. Then from down on the inside of me, I started laughing. The laughter sort of bubbled up and came out of my mouth and I laughed out loud. I said, no, devil, I don't think he'll be saved. I know he'll be saved. I took the name of Jesus and broke your power over his life and claimed his deliverance. To me, that settles it. Then I went on rejoicing. 2 days later, I heard that same voice again. It said the same thing again. I shut my mind off to it, and again I started laughing from way down on the inside. The laughter just started bubbling up on the inside of me. I told the devil again that I knew my brother would be saved because I had taken the name of Jesus and had broken his power over Dub's life. I had claimed Dub's deliverance and salvation. That happened on Tuesday and again on Thursday. The next week, I got a letter from my wife saying that Dub had been saved. I wrote her back and told her I had known it for 2 or 3 weeks. It wasn't news to me. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Holy Spirit said, you got to read that. You got to read that. That brings encouragement. And it talks about what we were talking about the thoughts and taking those thoughts captive. Don't engage with the devil. Don't engage with the doubt and unbelief, and fight and use your authority to break the power of the evil one over your family member. Hallelujah. And we will see results just like he did. Praise the Lord. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same word. So, okay, another point here. Avoid strife. We talked a little bit about unforgiveness, and strife is connected there. This is a tactic of the devil to get you in strife with your family, with your family member. It is deadly. It's a showstopper. We cannot align ourselves to fighting, to unforgiveness, to being in disagreement or disunity, because then love isn't flowing, and then faith can't work, right? Faith works by love. So, you know, the scripture, James 3, in NIV, it says, "For where envying and strife is," it's verse 16, James 3, 16, "where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to partner with that, right? Listen to it in the Passion Translation. It says, "If you consider yourself to be wise and one who understands the ways of God, advertise it with a beautiful, fruitful life, guided by wisdom's gentleness." Oh, help us to be gentle, Lord. "Never brag or boast about what you've done, and you'll prove that you're truly wise. But if there is bitter jealousy or competition hiding in your heart, then don't deny it and try to compensate for it by boasting or by being phony. For that has nothing to do with God's heavenly wisdom, but can best be described as the wisdom of this world, both selfish and devilish." Wow. "So wherever jealousy and selfishness are uncovered, you will also find many troubles and every kind of meanness." Wow, the word is correcting us today, isn't it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So don't partner with strife. You don't want to open the door to every evil work in your life. And certainly not in your family member's life, right? It drops, strife drops and blocks the shield of faith. Right? It stops prayer results and invites Satan and all his little cohorts into the scene even more. And we don't need that. So let's wisen up. Let's walk in wisdom. Let's not partner with strife in any way. Repent. Just repent and deal with it and move on in love. Hallelujah. Okay. I'm going to try to start landing the plane. Last point, yield to the Holy Spirit. So important. When you are interacting with your family members, just wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for him to act. Like I said in the beginning, I learned that it was not effective for me to, you know, I wanted them saved so badly. And it was like, I would just push my agenda through my flesh and like spew out all this stuff about, I don't know, God or the Bible or whatever. And it wasn't received. They felt the pressure. I felt the pressure, and it was an obligation, and it wasn't from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't have much to do with that, and it fell flat. And they probably, you know, it's like they were turned off more than turned on. So operate in the Holy Spirit, yield to him, wait for his timing, wait for him to open the door to give you an opportunity to speak. And I always picture in my mind a silver platter, and that's how I pray. Lord, set it up for me on a silver platter that they just come and ask. You know, and that happened, and I shared this testimony at the Christmas dinner table a few years back, and my father made a statement at the Christmas table, and I won't go into the whole story, but it was served to me on a silver platter about his eternity and his salvation. And I stewed over everyone, you know, different people reacted in different ways, and I was just quiet with the Holy Spirit during that meal, and all night I was, you know, like, what do I do with this? And I woke up in the morning and the Holy Spirit said, green light, go. Go share the gospel with him. Start with love, listen, discern, and respond, and refer to that question. So I did. I approached him. It was like, wake up, don't get coffee, don't pass go, don't do anything, because I would have talked myself out of it. And I put my Revive tools, you know, the gospel card and the wristband in my pocket, and I went. And I was like, Holy Spirit, and I prayed, and I just went for it. And I said, hey, Dad, you know, you made a really bold statement at the table last night, and I was really thinking about that, and, you know, and I got to share the gospel. And I, you know, tears are streaming down my face. And I said, you know, at that time, it was when we were doing a lot of Revive encounters and sharing the gospel with people on the streets. And here I had been a missionary in Argentina. And I said to my mom and my dad, and I said, you know, I share this, the gospel, with people, strangers on the street often, but I've never been able to do this with you guys. And so thank you for giving me the opportunity. And my dad engaged with me, and it was awesome. And it was like, yes, it was the Holy Spirit's time, not my agenda, not my way, not my time. The Holy Spirit did it. And I walked right into the door. You know, he handed me the silver platter, and I picked it up and I served it. You know, I carried it through. Praise the Lord. He's so good. There's a verse that I love. This verse, it says, in Proverbs, this is what I always think of when, you know, moments like that. It says, Proverbs 8:34, it says, joyful are those who listen to me, watching for me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside my home. So it's when you're spending time praying in the Spirit for your family member, for your family, you're daily waiting at his door. You're listening, and he will show you, go. I always see like a red light, green light. Red or green light, go. You know, here comes the silver platter. He's giving me an opportunity. He's setting it up. He's putting hunger in their hearts or a question or something. The conversation's going to open, and he's going to open the door, and I fall right in to his blessing and his, you know, presentation. Go speak, preach with boldness. When you get an opportunity and it's from the Holy Spirit, take it, obey, go. And when he says stop, and then, you know, maybe when I'm talking or preaching or, you know, sharing something with them, then I see like a yellow light, okay, like caution, they're receiving, okay? He knows when they're, you know, they're maxing out, and it's like, okay, red light, stop, you're done. Okay, thank you. It's so hard, she says. We have self-control. It's so hard, but he knows how much they can handle. And if you give them a little spoonful, that's it, stop. Don't say anymore. You be quiet. I love you. Or you talk about something else. And that's effective. And then you wait for him. You wait daily at his doors, praying and listening to him until he gives you the next, right? And you're praying for those laborers. So it's not just you. And it's not, the responsibility isn't on you. He's their savior, not us. So hallelujah. Plant the seeds when the Holy Spirit leads you. I like to do this too. When a, you know, family member might be complaining about something or sharing a problem that they're having, ask for permission. That's important because you'll get their respect. Hey, can I share something with you? Is it all right if I share something? If they say no, respect that. Okay? And then walk in love and forgive that. You know, if they, nah, 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 they said no. You got to respect that, right? And if they say yes, so you share a testimony. If you have something to speak into that situation, or like, you know, let's say they're talking about, oh, my body just keeps hurting, or I don't know why I'm having this problem. You know what I do? You know what happened? You know, the Bible says, or don't even talk about the Bible. Some family members get really, what's the word, weirded out when you say the Bible, so you can say it without saying that. You know, well, you know what I do? I just tell it to go. I just talk to my body and say, stop hurting. And don't make it all religion, you know, don't make it all spiritual talk. And, you know, tell them a story, tell them a testimony of what principle in the word you applied and how it worked for you and how God backed that up. They can't argue with your experience, and it's going to plant a seed, even if they're grumbling about what you're saying, right? Amen. If the Lord leads you to share it, to say it, that's an effective way that I have found, because they can't argue with your story. And ultimately, if in that case, you know, if they're hurting and you tell them, well, it worked for me, they're going to think about that, right? They're going to think about that. They're going to reach out to God sooner or later. Let it be sooner, Lord. Amen. All right. So in conclusion, we want to cooperate with God. We don't want to be a hindrance for the work that he is doing in our family members' lives, right? So we want to think God's thoughts. We want to pray God's kind of prayers. We want to love God's way. We want to fight God's way, avoid strife, and yield to the Holy Spirit. We can do it, church. We have the power of God on the inside of us. His love enables us, the fruits of the Spirit that live inside of us give us the capability to demonstrate his love and to represent him well. We can do it. Don't pick up the burden. Your family member belongs to the Lord. So let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that you love our family member and each member of our family so much. We thank you for your amazing love that rescued each one of us from the pit and put us on the track with you. And Father, it's that same love, powerful love, that is reaching out to every family member that we are believing for. Thank you, Jesus, that your love knows how to reach them. You know how to speak to them. We thank you for the laborers in their path, along their path. Bring this army of laborers upon each one of our family members that we are believing for. In the name of Jesus, we bless those laborers in the name of Jesus, that they would hear your voice and the voice of a stranger they wouldn't follow, that they would be obedient to your voice, that they would pray for our loved ones, that they would reach out and say something, that they would share the gospel. We thank you, Father God. Bless and strengthen those laborers in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would help us partner with your love, that you would help us cooperate with love, with joy, with peace, with patience, with kindness, with goodness, with faithfulness, with gentleness and self-control, so that we cannot fall into the traps of the evil one, that we don't have to partner with strife and doubt and unbelief and all confusion and every evil work, but we can stay in your love. Help us, Holy Spirit, to walk in your love, to put boundaries where we need to, but to walk and serve in your love. Help us to shut our mouths when we need to. And Father, help us to yield to you, Holy Spirit. You love our family so much more than we even can think or imagine. And Father, you will give us opportunities to speak and to partner with you and to be a part. But let it be your time and in your way, and we obey. You are Lord. We declare your lordship over our family because of the covenant that you have with us. Your mercy and your kindness reaches our family member. In Jesus' name, it reaches each family in the name of Jesus. We thank you for their salvation. Just thank them, church. Thank the Lord for your family member's salvation. Shiaka Soko Baba. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our children's salvation, for our grandchildren's salvation. Thank you for our spouse receiving Jesus as Lord and coming to sit with us here at church. Thank you for our siblings and our parents, our aunts and our uncles, our cousins. Father, coming in, receiving you as Jesus and Lord, as Lord. Thank you, Father, for their deliverance, for their healing, for their salvation, that they will be set free to serve you with fear and with reverence. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Father, show us what that looks like. Give us a picture on the inside of our family serving you in unity, no division. Father, no strife, totally restored in each family member, restored to each other, and each family member restored in themselves as a whole, sound mind, healed body. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Show us, Father. Mold us, bend us, that we can be a part of your work. You're at work when we can't even see it or feel it. We know you're at work. You're good. You're good, and your mercy endures forever. Now bless those that are listening and watching online, Father God. Bless them to be a blessing this week over the top. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray, I just see like people sharing the gospel. I pray that we would also be laborers, that somebody else, some stranger somewhere is praying, maybe in another state, maybe in another country. Somebody is praying for their family member, and we are that laborer. So thank you, Father, for giving us the boldness to hear your voice and to walk out your obedience to share the gospel or pray for somebody when we are out and about. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That we partner with you, Father. We can be somebody else's labor. We can share the gospel and know that you are also taking care of our family member and sending laborers to our family member. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Bless those that are listening, our friends on social media. Bless them to have an amazing week in your presence with your word and with your voice leading and guiding them. In the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.